This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans! Welcome to another episode of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight we are talking about Season 3, Episode 15, Space Time. We are going to have an adventure in the fourth dimension. Stay tuned!
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV! And now, let the buzz begin!
We are back, everybody! We have come back from the future! We've seen it, and it is terrifying and scary. How are you all doing
tonight? I don't want to go to the future.
I mean, I kind of do. It's sort of happening.
It would be an excellent adventure. Indeed. Aww. Indeed.
It's Megan's turn to get booed.
Hey, somebody else made the joke earlier. Let me introduce my lovely panel. To my left, Jesse Klein.
Hi, everyone. How's it going? You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JessKlein1. That's JessKlein, the number one.
That's Zach Wilson.
And I... Yes, sorry. Exactly. I'm Zach Wilson, a.k.a. That Zach Wilson.
That one specifically over there.
Agent Joyce, or Agent Azuri, I guess, is on assignment.
She saw
we can't tell you where. It's top secret mission. Need to know only.
I know where
she saw the future and is trying desperately to change it. So, in her stead today, we have the wonderful Yael Teagle.
Hi, everybody. I'm here visiting and playing with Deadpool. You can tweet at me during the show and throughout the week at Yael Teagle. That's YaelTygiel.
Thank you for joining us tonight.
Thanks for letting me come play with you guys, especially on a nerd-tastic episode.
Yeah, we don't even recap the show. We just play with all of Zach's action figures.
Okay. I'm in.
Yeah, in case you guys don't know, all of these are mine.
Well, this was a very interesting episode tonight, and I wanted to get your guys' initial take, because this was the classic Cassandra dilemma, where we have the future, but the future's set in stone, and in trying to change the future, we instead cause that particular future to come true. So I wanted to get your guys' take on that tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was fun. I mean, I always like time and space. They're two of my favorite of the dimensions.
What's your least favorite dimension?
Oh, I don't like the one where it's like split off of. It's fine. The seventh dimension is my least favorite. To let you guys know, I don't like the seventh dimension.
Have you been to the eighth, though? The eighth? If you've experienced the eighth, you trust me, seventh is
the dual,
light.
The dual split experiment ruins all of it, and it really just throws me through. Guys, we can talk quantum mechanics if
I'm
we want
so
to.
Happy.
I thought it was good. I always liked time. I always liked space. I liked time space adventures. I liked Fitz explaining like why you can't change the future even if you see it, because it's already happened. Like, and it's pretty much what makes like in a show like this, it's like, okay, now we have those rules set, and now we know we can't change it no matter what.
Yeah, it was good to set that up, since we started this half season with that big flash forward cliffhanger. So like, we know that is going to happen. They're not just going to fix whatever's going on
that there is no fixing it. Yeah.
Yeah, there's somebody in space and there's blood.
Yeah.
That's what we know.
And we know,
well, now we know a little more.
Well, and we know that in that particular scenario somebody dies, because this wasn't just any glimpse into the future. It was specifically the dead zone rules of you see someone dying. Not necessarily your own death, but you see someone dying in the future.
Love time travel. I love it. And so just being able to see a new way of looking at it with these are the rules of our universe that we are applying right now. And in the back of my mind, all I can think of is the new Captain America. And I'm like, how is this going to tie in? This has to tie in. This has to be related. And it probably isn't. But that's just, if you keep that in the back of your mind, it makes the show, like, it takes it to, you know, another dimension, maybe, the seventh.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's cool. Like, it was like exactly 2 years ago today that I saw Winter Soldier. And so I got a little reminder in my inbox of like, this is what you said 2 years ago on Twitter. and I was like, oh my God, the biggest question of Winter Soldier is how's S.H.I.E.L.D. going to react? And I'm just like, oh, past Zach.
Oh, past Zach.
You have no idea.
We knew so little back then. Only we knew then what we know now.
Well, it was set in stone.
Yeah,
so,
that's true.
But like, luckily, like, we wouldn't know though. Hope.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Because nobody's dying on the panel.
That's very true.
Touch my hand. Let's see what happens.
I like this new character they introduced.
Charles.
Charles Winters Hinton.
I think that that's kind of also a nod to the whole Cassandra Greek tragedy type thing. Like, it's a similar enough name.
It was actually... I don't know if it was intentional... But Charles Howard Hinton was a British sci-fi writer.
It was probably intentional, then.
Yeah.
Because
like I did a search, like, who is this character? Is he a Marvel person that I've never heard?
Well,
of?
This is one of the more real guy. For a spy show. I mean, granted, this is a superhero show, and it's got a lot of spy elements, but. This was probably the most sci-fi we've seen them since they came back from outer space.
Since that other planet.
Since that other planet incident. This is probably the most sci-fi that they've been. And I like when time travel has defined rules. Because as much as I love Doctor Who, they change the rules as they go along to fit whatever particular plot is happening. So
no. No.
Well, like,
they would never.
At first, I started watching this. I shouted out, like, wibbly wobbly. And then I was like, after this, as Fitz explained, I'm like, oh, not at all.
No. This is like the mathematical definition of time. Like, not as we see it, but as how math perceives it.
Yeah.
And like, in quantum mechanics, how it's used. And so it really was a great way to just kind of introduce you that, like, as much as you try and change the future, you literally can't, because it's already happened, unless you go into a quantum differentiality. And then it's like, now you're in a different universe that exists that exists beside the future that you already saw.
Yeah, very cool stuff. Though I will say, Marvel, incredibly, frustratingly misleading of a title after you introduced Edyn Fossey as a character.
Sure.
And then had an episode entitled Space Time. Got my hopes up. This like is a great episode.
Like it was time for space?
Play with Deadpool to make you feel better.
There you go.
Yeah.
With this one, I really appreciated it. Because, it's so easy for time travel to get muddled. And you have to appreciate Fitz's reaction to the whole thing. Because he understands it from that scientific perspective. And he knows that there's no way that they're going to be able to alter whatever it is that's happening. So he's just resigned to watching all of this go down despite everybody's efforts to the contrary.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a real, like, time travel is a real, like, in both, like, major comic book companies, they use time travel a whole bunch.
Yeah.
And it's used quite a bit. And I like it when the terms are defined like this, just because you know eventually someone is going to break it and change the future. And when that happens, it's much more impressive when you've already set up, like, this is the house we live in, and then someone throws a toaster out the window. Like, that's more interesting to me.
There's a lot of times, though, that we have, this is how it's going to happen, and this is what you see. For example, the one-way mirror, that she saw him coming at her. And it's I love when time is like, this is what you see, this is going to happen, but it's not what you think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's always...
I love time travel.
It's always a piece, that gets you to where you need to be.
Yeah.
It only shows you exactly what you need to see in order to get you there.
Well, that's what's interesting that they are setting up, even more so in this episode, because they're starting to really drive home this idea of Inhumans are created and their powers are quote-unquote chosen for very specific needs.
Yeah, they keep hammering in this idea of intelligent design, and I'm really glad actually that it keeps coming up, because it came up a couple episodes ago and it would have been a missed opportunity to kind of be like, oh, intelligent design, and then to not do anything with that idea. Yeah. And it makes sense if there were Kree with the, you know, who ran these experiments of being able to see into the fourth dimension and then using that to, in their experiments, in order to, as you said, make sure certain Inhumans had certain abilities for certain reasons.
Well, yeah, I mean, especially since the Inhumans are supposed to be soldiers. They're supposed to be an army. So, like, having someone who can see deaths in the future, even though you can't change that, it still gives you a tactical advantage.
Mm-hmm. It's just interesting what it implies about the Inhumans, because it suggests that there is either someone deciding what their powers are, or like a computer program,
yeah,
or
like a
biological, like, yeah, matrix or yeah. program that like is saying, we need a guy who can make electricity from his hands.
Mm-hmm.
That's so Lincoln gets...
So it's us.
Powers.
It's the two of us just being like, what if we give someone electricity hands?
We need that.
We need that.
Now
we need someone who turns into a door.
We need a giant dog.
Yeah. We need to mess with everybody. Let's make a guy whose future... Who like touches you and makes the future. It's sort of like a combination, and it's like us in a brainstorm. Yeah. It's like a combination of Rogue and that one person from Wolverine.
But you can only see deaths.
That sounds like a great idea for a movie or TV show.
Well, yeah. So I was trying to remember, in the last Wolverine movie,
there was a character who could see other people's deaths, and she knew when she was going to die. So she'd see people's deaths, including her own, and that's why she could jump into the fray
in
and go, no, like, this is not the day I die.
Yeah.
What do we say to the god of death?
Not today!
But here's a thought. I'm wondering if maybe the entity we know is Hive, if maybe he had, because we don't know how many eons, years old he's been around. What if he was instrumental in some of these experiments, since he, like, a lot of the diction that he's using is very, this is right where you're supposed to be. Like, you're here for a reason. This is, you know, it kind of lines up with the idea of this is our fate. So I don't know if I'd be okay with him, like, being instrumental in the creation of the Inhumans, but he's been around for a long time, and he was on Earth for a good long while.
Do you think he is behind the creation of the Inhumans?
Maybe he's like the first Inhuman.
Mm.
Like,
yeah, I mean, he's literally the stuff of legends. So he might be incorporated in some of this fourth dimensional prophecy type stuff.
Yeah, I mean, and just the prophecy in itself, like, suggests that there was an Inhuman who could perceive the fourth dimension in one way or another.
I don't know. It's just a thought. Maybe that was better saved for predictions, but while we're talking about
there's some interesting stuff there, because there's... When you start getting into... This is what's risky with time travel or future prediction related, is you risk getting yourself into a box, or like just making it super confusing,
like
to where
a little blue box, like a police box.
That, I don't know, just
it's not little. I mean,
it's bigger on the inside.
Not
inside.
Like that, because there's a lot more room to move around in there.
Oh, like a phone box.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a phone box. Excellent.
But it's bigger than a phone box, but only on the inside.
Either way, the it can just get complicated.
Yes. Time is very messy.
Yeah. And so I'm glad they set up very clear rules, like not like the way that like they're doing with like the all new X-Men or did recently, where it's like they're from the past, but they can't go back anymore, so they're not going.
No repercussions. It's fine.
It's fine. Don't worry about it. Don't ask any questions.
You know, I'm okay with that if it had erased X-Men 3. It's fine. It's fine. I'm okay with it. But let's kind of get back to this episode, because we have a lot of, as we always do, we always have a lot of interesting character dynamics stuff going on, and I do, just speaking of Hive, I really do find the stuff between him and Gideon very fascinating, because there, as Brett Dalton is doing an excellent job portraying, there is this otherworldliness to Hive, and everything he says, he just sounds so alien, and you can tell he thinks so little of little human Gideon.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that conversation where it was like, what do you want?
Like, that was fascinating.
It was really fascinating. So
it's a very fair question. I'm glad they're calling it out, because a lot of times bad guys can become like, it's like, what do you want? I want to rule the earth. Yeah. And it's like, why? Yeah. No one ever asks them why.
I've been asking myself that a lot. Like, and why does this person want this? It's like, what end?
If you want to rule the earth, why are you robbing this bank?
One small step?
I just like that.
You've got superpowers. Don't rob a little bank.
You need pocket change to rule the world.
You gotta start somewhere.
I like that we get not only a real answer, but we get our villains discussing it and being like, let's clarify our rules. They just established the rules for time travel. Let's talk about our rules on what we want.
We need to talk about our relationship here.
Yeah. Where are we going?
Why did you call me? While they're sitting down over dinner and wine.
But once Gideon has the power and he decides to do things that I'm pretty sure he could do without the suit, like pick up the one fragile object off the shelf and flip a table.
As cool as like the primordial Spartan armor stuff that he has on right now is, it's cool stuff. I love exoskeletons and mech suits and things like that. That stuff is really cool. But like,
is it better than a gun?
Is it better than being able to shoot electricity from your hands, which is what he really wants? He really wants inhuman power.
Right. That's the thing. Is having an exoskeleton that makes you flip tables better than a shotgun?
Which, you don't have to run up to a person. You don't have to be within arm's length of a person in order to use your exoskeleton. Yeah. If you're using a gun, you can kill them from across the room. It's great.
Your superpower is moving bullets really quickly through people.
Maybe he wants mind bullets.
I guess.
There's something more tangible, though, about picking a an object or a person up and like with your bare hands.
Or a dude's skull,
I was surprised. Like, of all those objects in front of him, there's like marble like statues and stuff, and he picks up the glass.
After he destroyed that vase, Hydra intern came in with a bunch of flowers and was like, I guess I'm not putting them in this room. Walked away.
Or like somebody was like, we need to sweep this up. There's glass all over the place.
Yourself.
You're going to cut yourself. This is very dangerous. Stand back.
I'm surprised he didn't cut himself.
That's true. There was glass everywhere.
Yeah. But when he did smash the guy's head. Oh,
like a tomato can.
This is going to sound real weird. I loved it. It was so great because I was thinking, he's never killed before. How is he going to kill? And seeing him like hold the guy and try to figure out what he wanted to do, and he was like, "This is what I'm gonna do." It was great. It was so good.
Yeah, I mean, but Hive makes a good point. Like he's always ordered things. Like this is the guy. Remember, this is the guy who's going to nuke New York City.
Yeah.
Like was totally fine with that. But he has never killed a man with his bare hands.
Until now.
He's never even shot anybody, which I would have thought a guy like that would have totally shot somebody in his
But when
time.
Woody, he's a businessman.
Yeah.
That's true. He's a busy guy. It's hard to pencil in a shooting.
I mean, he goes skeet shooting, but there's a difference.
So yeah. Like Hive even like pointed out, he's like, you've got all the money and influence in the world.
$9.2 billion.
Yeah. You can shoot all the skeet you want with $9.2 billion. And like it's what does he really want? And it's to be able to crush things with his hands.
And flip tables.
Which, and flip a table. To be able to win any poker game.
Which, this is an interesting move by Hive, because he has Coulson's robot hand to go off of. But I would think that Malik would want something more along the lines of genetic engineering to really give him what he wants.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I guess this is the best that they can do on short notice.
Well, it's the first step.
Yeah. I don't know. So, and especially now that Gideon probably knows how he's going to die, conceivably knows how he's going to die, maybe, I don't know, maybe saw his daughter's death, who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah, he saw somebody.
Yeah, because again, it's not necessarily your death, it's someone's death.
He's afraid. So, like, it would have to be somebody he gave a damn about.
So it's either himself
or his daughter,
or somebody in his family.
Did you take that the ending was necessarily he was afraid because of the death that he saw? Or that he has realized that
he doesn't really have true power?
He has no power.
I think it's a combination of those two things, depending on if he saw his own death or if he saw his daughter's death. Chances are Hive has something to do with it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that this exoskeleton thing doesn't actually give him any protection, or it's not real power. Right. It's not even an Iron Man suit.
Yeah, exactly. Like, again, like if you've got a gun and you're 12 feet away from Gideon, you have more power than him.
Like
he has to be within like arm's grasp.
Well, yeah, I mean.
And again, with this newfound power, that in no way protects him from Hive's ability to turn him into a skeleton.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Into a skeleton made out of red licorice.
Which, those do look really cool.
All of Hive's powers are connected to candy to me.
What? He's caramel?
He's covered in caramel sauce. He healed his body with caramel sauce.
And he turned skeletons into red licorice.
Then, question.
Go.
Because I want, when he is turning the bodies into skeletons. Oh,
those are nerds.
The like sand that comes off.
Those are nerds.
Nerds. Okay. Yeah. You knew what I was going for.
Oh yeah.
I thought about it. Okay.
I thought they were pixie sticks. Like the stuff you do with pixie sticks.
Yeah, he throws pixie stick dust at you.
Just to be clear, he wasn't actually covered in anything edible. I 100% asked. And he was.
Yes, you did.
I did. Well, it looked delicious.
Yeah, if you guys haven't gone on to AfterBuzz's website and watched the S.H.I.E.L.D. interviews that Yell and Steve Kaufman, a.k.a. Not Jesse Klein, did.
It wasn't me.
Yeah. they're great, and Yell asks the hard questions.
Like, what was it like to be covered in caramel sauce?
Was that honey? It looked tasty.
On the subject of Hive.
Yes.
Did you guys notice that when he's talking about Coulson, he says what Coulson did with me.
Yeah,
he said me.
Which I don't want, because on the one hand, it could just be Hive, you know, taking on the memories of the person he's currently inhabiting. On the other hand, that sounds oddly personal, because Hive was still inhabiting Will before Ward expired. And so it's really weird that he would refer to him as me, not like when he killed Ward, this is how it felt to Ward. There's not that detachment there. There's ownership and like personal, there's a personal feeling there.
Well, memories are very strong. Like, I feel like I've talked about this on like a whole bunch of shows, because it's been a theme in like just television recently. But like, when you have somebody else's memories, you have their life. And that's going to carry not just what they did, but also the emotions they felt, the fear that they experienced.
That's to a human brain and not a parasite that's taken over countless of bodies.
Like, he is a parasite, yes, but he's also, he also was human at one point.
In theory,
But
thousands of years ago. Like, what I'm saying is, like, he's taken over so many bodies. Like, either he has no sense of identity, or his identity is shared with everything.
And well, so, like, this would be probably... Well, it would be the first body that he's healed into. So maybe there's something
that he had enough resources
that
we know to heal himself.
I mean, well, that we know of, like, since he's been on Maveth.
I mean, they sent teams of people there, supposedly, so one of them could get infected and the others
could
heal the body.
Could serve as sacrifices. Yeah. For him to heal himself.
Like, they would send teams, like, 8 or 9 guys in.
Well, sometimes it would just be one schmuck.
Sure, just that one dude.
I think the emotional aspect of Ward is, in terms of storytelling, necessary for when, you know, for the shippers, when he sees Daisy, right?
Because they haven't met yet.
Yeah, they haven't seen each other, and she just discovered it was a thing.
Weird day. Weird day.
Zoom in. Day got weirder.
I will say that, like, I do want to say one more thing about Hive, but I will say that the look on Coulson's face when Ward appeared on the monitor was absolutely priceless. It was just fantastic. But yeah, no, the thing that bothers me about him saying, referring to himself as Ward, or at least referring to Ward's experience as his own experience, is that it makes me feel like they really are setting up for Ward to come back once Hive is dispatched. I feel like that's the direction that they're going, and I don't like that because I really liked when Ward died. I really liked when he was dead. Yeah. I didn't want him to come back. I thought this was fantastic.
I keep thinking, I wonder what Brett Dalton's going to do, like what his next role on the show is going to be once Hive is no longer in his body, because Brett Dalton can't go anywhere. That's not happening.
Why? He's boring.
No, he's a fine actor, and
he's played multiple roles in one show. That's amazing.
Yeah, no,
and you see they're different. Sorry,
he's a really good actor, and to be fair, it would be really interesting to get this character's perspective post being the host to an alien parasite.
Yeah,
like what that could do to a person's psyche. That is very interesting.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm like, I really liked when he was dead. I just wanted him to stay dead.
Oh, you mean last episode.
Yeah. Anyway, did you guys have any other thoughts on Hive and Malik before we move on?
Why did they leave Lincoln?
I know that it showed Hive turning around, but he passed out. They could have gone back, and this could be like long con sleeper agent stuff later on.
Maybe, yeah, but like it just looked like Lincoln was bleeding from the head, and Hive and the Iron Chef,
Guerra.
I mean, I think
Guerra just left him.
Well, I think that he said not to kill any Inhumans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But and they're capturing useful Inhumans, and I feel like to them, for some reason, Lincoln is not useful.
Well, he's not going to be useful because he's not going to be cooperative.
Well, it doesn't matter. Hive can make people, make Inhumans cooperative.
I thought we established that he couldn't.
I think we don't know. Yeah. We don't know what his powers are. We know that Guerra didn't believe in him. And then we saw him disintegrate his hand towards Guerra, and then ever since then, Guerra's been on Team Hive.
I believe he does have influence over them, but they still have some sense of awareness, because you saw that look of conflict on both him and Mandusa. You saw conflict on their faces when Hive was killing those people.
Yeah.
And they clearly did not want to do it, and it kind of looked like they were showing some resistance. But then again, that might have just been guilt. I personally think he has mind control abilities, but everybody is left aware to an extent.
I would say look at Charles, right? He's a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he did exactly what he was told.
That's true.
Something to think about.
Yeah. Yep.
But that would have been as easy for them as threatening his family.
Fine.
Knowing that he couldn't fight it. Yeah, so.
But also.
All right, any other thoughts before we move on to iTunes?
No.
No? All right. Folks, we're going to take a minute to talk to you really quickly about iTunes. It is so fantastic that we have an amazing amount of iTunes ratings and reviews. Like, we have nearly, 500 some odd ratings?
We have 537 ratings.
Oh my God.
That is incredible.
On iTunes. And we hit today 400 reviews.
What?
I just want to be clear, it's because I'm here.
We couldn't have done it without you.
You're welcome.
You've been there every step of the way.
That's an insane percentage of people who have rated us, then reviewed us.
Yeah.
And it is, honestly, it's very moving. And we know that that's not even all of the reviews, because we know that we have an international audience as well. And we don't always get to see those iTunes reviews from all of you wonderful, wonderful people from around the world.
Tweet them at us.
And it means the world to us when you guys go to iTunes to rate, leave a comment, and subscribe. It's the best way to let our bosses know that you like the show that we're putting on. It's a really great way to get guests into the studio with us. And honestly, it just makes our day. It certainly makes mine. Do we have any fun new reviews that we want to shout out?
Eric Olin writes in. Hey, Eric, I know you from Sleepy Hollow. I finally made it to this podcast. It's a great podcast. Very informative and very funny. Love that we get a fourth season of S.H.I.E.L.D. This podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, it also says, and yells great.
Doesn't.
I know.
This was written on the 29th.
I know.
So, yeah. The
Maybe
10th Plague.
Guys, tweet it, yell to make her feel loved.
Yeah. Thank you.
The 10th Plague, 8706, ooh, says, hunting bird forever.
Happy Passover.
Nice. After last week's episode nearly had me break down in tears, I'm very interested in tonight's episode. Can't wait for Marvel's Most Wanted to see the continued adventures of Bobby and Hunter. But I know our S.H.I.E.L.D. team will soldier on. Just like you amazing hosts.
Yeah.
Thank you. Amazing Corey B. Who needs friends?
Aww.
I didn't mean to say that with such zeal. This
Not
podcast
us.
Reminds me of how TV used to be. And the next day, everyone talks about the night's previous TV program. With streaming services and the amount of choices, that doesn't exist anymore. This podcast replaces that for me and helps fuel my interest in these TV shows. Let's see. We got... You know who's back, you guys?
Speaking of Phil Coulson's hand.
Phil Coulson's left hand writes in, rejoice, for the king has returned. Tis I, Phil Coulson's left hand, and I am back in business, baby. I've had a well-earned sabbatical in Tahiti, actual Tahiti. Or maybe I just think that. In my absence, I've created various social media accounts, like my Tumblr. Just look up Phil Coulson, and I'm the first result. Yes, it irks me that I'm still living in his shadow. Don't mention it again. Anyway, I'm back on my show. Megan, Zach, Joyce, Jesse, y'all did a nice job covering for me while I was away. But now it's time to let the head honcho back into their rightful spot.
Uh-oh.
Sounds like a threat.
Yeah, are we going to have a problem with you, Phil Coulson's left hand? Because, left hands from Phil Coulson are causing a lot of problems recently.
Yeah, that robot hand sent them to that company, and now all those boards, all those executives are, liquefied.
I
want to
trust you, left hand, because... Now we know, you've been saying it all along, not to trust the replacement hand, and now that replacement hand is doing double agent duty.
And now that happened, and now it sounds like he's trying to stage a coup on our show. Like, has this all been building up to the war between Phil Coulson's hands?
Look, Phil Coulson's left hand, if you want to come at us like that, you do it to our faces. You come into the studio with your... crusted shell of an inhuman of a what
holding
what would
on
you
to
call that
Terrigen crystal
Terrigen shell glass case business.
Really intimidating.
I feel like we're going to get punched in the face.
I'm going to be honest. I would absolutely watch a war between Phil Coulson's hands.
I mean, it's what Marvel Civil War is. It's the left hand versus the right hand.
Good plug right there.
Makes sense.
Yeah,
now.
Guys, watch my movie, Civil War. It's coming out soon.
Right hand versus left, yep.
Jesse presents Marvel Civil War.
Yeah. I'd watch that.
I think they need a plug. Like, I haven't seen enough stuff out there for it, so I'm trying to push it.
It's good. I'm glad.
I could get on to produce that. Yeah. We'll chat later. We'll have lunch.
That's it for this week. But we keep writing in, guys, and we'll be sure to shout you out next week.
Well, yes, and...
And, yeah, should we...
Okay, our audience might not appreciate
this. All right, so here's the thing. We would really love to up these. These numbers are awesome.
Amazing.
We know that you guys can do better. So last year, what we did was to get to our goal, we said we would cosplay for the finale if you got us to, I forget what the number was at the time.
I believe it was 500 ratings.
Well, now we have a different take on this. We want to get to 600 ratings by the end of the season.
Oh, we do.
We really want to get there. That's only 63 more ratings.
That's not bad. That's not a lot. That's doable.
And here's the thing. If you don't get us there...
Oh, negative reinforcement.
We are going to sing an undetermined song that we will write between now and the finale.
My vote
on
is the Game
panel.
Of Thrones theme.
Just to be clear, I have no part in this, and I apologize.
No, Joyce isn't here, but we made her agree to it. We voted, and it's done.
That's how
Sorry,
made
Joyce,
her agree.
But this is going to happen. Unless we get to 600 ratings, you can prevent us from singing.
Please
go and rate on iTunes. We're going to break our promise if we don't get to 600 ratings.
Please, God, get us to 600 ratings.
So you've been warned. Challenge issued, audience.
the chat is going, please, no.
Not again. Well, get to iTunes.
It's in your hands.
I think they're also suggesting cosplays for us.
Maybe. We'll talk about that, because that would be a lot of fun, too.
Why am I Hive?
I don't know. But did you see who I am?
Yeah, that's the wrong universe.
I don't care.
Anyway, guys, in all seriousness, we are doing that, by the way, but in all seriousness, it really does mean a lot to us. So thank you to everybody who's gone to iTunes to rate and subscribe. Thank you to everybody who uses the hashtag ABTVMarvel throughout the week and during the show.
You guys are dope.
Yeah, for sure. I want to give a special shout out really quick to Kaylee Rose. The poster that we sent her came in today that she won, and it's her birthday.
What?
It came in and arrived on her birthday.
You're welcome.
So congratulations again, Kaylee, and happy, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
All right, let's get on with the show. So one thing that sort of led up to this awesome, cool action sequence that we had trying to save Charles at the end was May not being able to go on the mission, and that was because Andrew was unexpectedly turned up at the base. He turned himself in because he wanted to say goodbye because he felt like he was losing control.
You and I both did not trust that. We were both like, there's something else here. Did you guys feel that too? Or was it just us being real suspicious?
No, because he's like, he keeps talking about this destiny, and he feels that both he and Daisy are trying to do the same thing of changing the future. And even though he is theoretically in control of himself again, and not Lash, he was like, I still feel like whatever, like, I was doing what I was doing for a reason.
Yeah.
And again, we have that, going back to that intelligent design motif. So it makes me think, I'm like, did Hive send him there intentionally? Is this just genuine? He just wanted to say goodbye to his estranged wife.
I'm thinking about like where Lash fits in with like that need for something to exist. Mm-hmm. And if you're creating super soldiers with superpowers, you want your super soldiers with superpowers to be good. So maybe Lash is like this control where it's like, if you can't defend yourself against this thing, then you're not a good enough soldier to serve the Kree. And so like that's what he exists existed for, and that's why he has like this need to destroy other inhumans.
In the comics, it was very much a worthiness thing, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'm thinking maybe like they're pulling that back into the storyline, where Lash is like a measuring stick, where it's like, if you can't beat him, then you don't. We have no need for you in the Kree army. If you can beat him,
then you're useful.
Welcome to Hala. You're not the bread, but the planet.
Your argument makes me think, what if he is not a measuring stick, but he is there in case the soldiers get out of line? He's the punishment.
That could be it as well, yeah.
Like an enforcer of
right.
some sort.
Yeah. Like if they aren't following the rules, he's the one who comes in and takes them out.
Yeah.
Both are plausible theories, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, this is a wild swing, but like the whole thing was that in the comics is that he comes from a separate city.
Yeah.
What if like there's like a faction of Kree who don't like want inhumans and like built that in, that like there would be one to
like it's an inside
control,
job
or just, it's literally just to control the population. Yeah. Like yeah, make sure that there's not too many,
because an army of inhumans would be able to beat the Kree.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, fair enough.
War of Kings. Oh, read it. Read War of Kings. What are you doing? Read it.
That's fair.
It's where the Inhumans declare war on the Kree.
How sad and how much would that crush Andrew, though, to find out that his job in terms of finding these Inhumans and killing them was literally just population control? Like, that's upsetting.
I mean, it's the same thing with, like, every population needs some sort of control on it. Like that's why hunting season is allowed. Ooh. Just so that like deer don't take over places. I mean, ideally you just have deer do whatever they want and humans aren't in their habitats. But because of that, it's so that deer don't take over.
Yeah, you have to call the herd.
Yeah. So it might be like one of those situations where he's just the predator that makes sure that there isn't a huge population.
Yeah. Mm. I will
but
say
again, that's for somebody who thinks that they're being called to a higher purpose. That's not exactly what I think of when I think of being called to a higher purpose.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Higher purposes.
I mean,
are
it's
overrated.
Still important.
Yeah. Well, it depends on how you look at it. You can look at it as protecting the inhuman population by keeping the herd thin, like so, because it's the same thing. It's like if there's too many, then they'll all suffer for it. But if you have fewer than the ones that are there, will thrive.
Or maybe it's an attempt to protect the indigenous population of the planet where this experiment is taking place.
Yeah, that as well.
I will say, like, I'm glad Lash is just going to be Lash now.
Me too.
Like, I love Blair Underwood as an actor, and I'm really sad to see him go. But the whole, like, we and, like, he is Lash and he's not, and, like, they have different, like,
when he was
wants,
in,
and
he could
like,
feel him inside him and himself inside him.
He could feel
him.
A little bit of him still inside him.
Giggled like a schoolgirl.
Of course I did. It was filthy.
I just
she
like
had to
I
cover her ears and then uncover them over and over again.
Oh, heavens to Betsy!
It was always a little weird, always a little weird and muddled. And so like I'm glad to be done with that, because it never really made like 100 complete sense.
But what if that's? I mean, going back to him being from a different, you know, part of whatever the inhumansness.
we know what you're trying to say.
You know what I mean? but like, because he was going back and forth, whereas everyone else like got powers, they were like, this isn't how it works. That totally plays into that idea.
Sure. I also think an important part of that is we learned that they made the vaccine.
Yeah, or at least an experimental version of the vaccine.
Yeah. And tried it on him. It didn't work, but they definitely...
Because he took it out before it was even done dripping. And
yeah, I was also wondering why he took it out. Stop pulling out.
He wanted to prove that he was speaking frankly.
Mm. Well, I did really appreciate the blocking for this particular shot, because May starts off firmly at the entrance of the room, and slowly as they talk, you know, she moves closer and closer. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was really well done. Anyway, is there anything else you guys want to say regarding Lash?
I feel like this is inevitably... I'm deciding whether I want to save this for predictions or not. I'll save this for predictions.
Yeah, okay. All of my thoughts are prediction-based.
Well, we should probably... It was just a brief moment, but we probably should talk about Fitz and Simmons very, very, very quickly.
We should probably hold hands as stuff burns and people are dying.
It's not snowing, it's ashes.
It was a weird moment, but
nothing
like...
more romantic
Well,
than
and
burning.
Nothing more romantic than saying, maybe some things are inevitable. So we might as well hold hands.
You get that, audience? We put a male and female character together for a long period of time. It's inevitable.
We might as well be a couple.
I'm not opposed to Fitzsimmons. Like, I'm not like...
Neither
like,
am I.
I'm not like full on shipping them, but I'm like, I like it at the same time.
I'm not opposed to them either. It was just so weird. Like, she seemed so resigned. It wasn't like maybe we're... And instead of saying, maybe this was always meant to be, which is kind of romantic, yeah. She's like, maybe some things are inevitable. And it's just, and it's also just such a just weird like, way
It's also just not a romantic moment. Like, no. It's not snowing. There is just ash from a burning building falling around you.
I think a bit of it is that Gemma, despite being a scientist, thought that you could kind of tell that she thought maybe she could change the future.
Well, she did think that. Earlier in the episode, she's like, I refuse to believe that nothing is unchangeable.
So I think a bit of it was just her resigning to the fact that they couldn't change the future.
That they couldn't change this outcome.
Yeah, that no matter what. So I think it was more of a, like, I guess, this is the part where we hold hands, because we always held hands, and less of, like, I guess I'll hold your hand now.
Or, like, less of a, it's inevitable, the producers are going to put us together, we might as well just roll
I think it was more of about the inevitability of what they had been experiencing than even a romantic thing, although... Like, it was, like, they shot it like a rom-com with, like, the camera going from the top to the bottom. Like, it was very rom-com-esque, but at the same time, it was Ash from a burning building where their friend was dying on the roof.
Yeah, more Fight Club than Love Actually.
Yes.
There's a scene in Doctor Who where they're playing in the snow and it's Ash.
Yeah, that's true. Super depressing.
It's a thing that happens, guys.
It's a thing that happens. Do you guys want to talk about, like, I know we're running out of time, but do you guys want to talk about Daisy and Charles? Because most of this episode is Daisy fighting against the clock and trying to fight against the future in order to save him. He ends up saving her, and then she makes him an unkeepable promise.
Yeah, that was my only problem.
To protect Robin, his daughter.
You can't always. No, no, you can't.
He's dying. I will promise a dying person anything they ask.
Yeah, they're not going to know.
Yeah.
She's a liar.
They're also just, like, lying there in, like...
Well, she just got beat up by a guy in an exoskeleton suit, which, by the way... Just because she's inhuman doesn't make her super invulnerable. She got vibration powers. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that, like, she wouldn't be super resistant.
Again, what kind of powers
does
she
have? Shut up,
y'all. But that was kind of the laziness of, like, them leaving Lincoln and Gideon not taking Daisy. Like, they were beaten. And, like, yes, Gideon... like got beaten up a little bit, but the next time we see him, he's in a cab or he's in a limo. So I assumed
he was in a plane
or a plane.
I thought
or
he was in a helicopter.
Okay, he was in some sort of he was in a steam powered train. The year was 1843.
He was in a locomotive.
But he, like, assuming he had more guys to, like, come and take Daisy. Like, it just didn't make sense that they were allowed to have this extremely long conversation while on their sides. And, like, Gideon's just, like, in the corner in the back, just like, oh, I can't believe I just got earthquaked. Like,
that's why he got into his helicopter and left.
Like, I wish they, while they were having that meaningful conversation, just in the background, you just hear him like, oh, God, it hurts so bad. Oh, my. Like, and just like, I'll look after your daughter. Please, no. Oh, is that a tooth? Oh, no. Like,
and you, Malik, I'll look after your daughter, too.
How do you know about her?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a ton of stuff about them. Like, we talked about Hinton and, like...
We touched on most of it. I do want to say that, like, getting his backstory with his wife, that was really touching. And, like, that is a really tragic character of somebody who could never hold his daughter
It's the real implications of a power like this.
And possibly we'll see Robin.
Yeah.
Like, Robin would be, if she took fish oil, inhuman.
Possibly. Yeah.
Well, she would. By comics logic, she would.
Yes.
I guess the show could rewrite that. But according to the comic books, she would be an inhuman.
We're not reading the comic books right now. We're watching a show. Well,
but
it's the only evidence we have.
But yes.
Theoretically, we could see Robin. Yeah.
So, Robin, I hope Robin has bat powers.
When we were talking about Robin, I was like, the only Robin in this universe is Robin Scherbatsky, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
A.K.A. Sure. Maria Hill.
Scherbatsky.
Sure. Which is funny because her dad was in... Robin Scherbatsky's dad was in Agent Carter. That was so funny.
Yep.
He was,
The ages line up.
Yep.
I'm just saying.
Anyway, guys, let's go ahead and move on to predictions really quick, and then we gotta wrap it up.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Okay.
So, tentacle skull, though.
Oh! Wait, before we get to that, though, prediction from this episode that I was saving?
Yeah.
While we're talking about, like, Lash and, like, what his purpose would be, he is the, like, he's meant to fight Hive.
Yeah.
You know, Alvin just tweeted us that's his prediction as well.
Well, so. Alvin would be on top of it, but yeah.
Like, a couple episodes we were talking about, like, if Hive represents life, in a sense, and then Lash represents death, like, they're kind of meant to...
What happens when an unstoppable force meets an immovable object?
An inhumanable object.
I like that prediction a lot, and I'm sad that I didn't have it. Guys, I have a prediction. What if Lash is meant to fight Hive? Good thing I came up with something clever.
I will have your mic muted.
But seriously, guys, I mean... Ward, in their eyes, should still be dead on that planet, which means they know that he's infected with this alien parasite, and they have to deal with that now.
Yeah, I think, for me, my prediction is I think we're going to start seeing Malik start to lose it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think he saw his own death. And a man like Malik, with that much power and that much money, is going to do everything he can to prevent that from happening.
And, of course, inevitably cause it to happen.
Of course. So I think like, either Malik's death is at the hands of Hive or at the hands of his daughter. And in the course of him trying to stop it from happening, he will cause it to happen.
Ooh, I like that, at the hands of his daughter.
Yeah, I like that, too.
Ooh.
But, yeah, to what Megan was saying before... Oh my god, that effect looks amazing. Yeah. I know we only saw a split second of it, but it is just like comic book dreams come true.
Yeah, we know where the budget went this season.
Yeah.
It's Hive's face.
They were like, you know, we could put like a bunch of money into Lash, or we could put a bunch of money into Hive.
Yeah. We know where the money went.
That explains why we just saw like the face and a hand of Lash. Like, hey, that's enough.
And why for the first couple episodes of the season it was like
Sonic the Hedgehog. It looked like Sonic the Hedgehog.
Jamaican Sonic the Hedgehog.
Sonic the Hedgehog, Super Saiyan 3 cosplay. Yeah, it looked a lot like that.
If you accidentally hit Lash, he falls on his back and rings just start coming out of him.
Which is so funny because they kept calling Raina the Hedgehog.
That's true.
Anyway, guys, I think that basically wraps it up. Do we have any final thoughts on this week's episode or predictions?
It was a solid episode.
Yeah. Good times had by all.
Good. Did we mention the extra bit of pullout on the
Oh, yeah, there was some more space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We saw a shoulder of somebody in a SHIELD uniform.
It's definitely someone who has shoulders. Start making a list.
And there's definitely blood floating around in there. If that hadn't been clear before, it's certainly clear now.
Or Tabasco sauce.
Just hot sauce all over the inside.
Someone has a bad burrito.
And we do know that this is a vision of someone dying.
Yep.
Not before somebody gets saved. Straight up, this is a vision of someone's death. We don't know who yet.
Mm.
Anyway... That just about wraps it up for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. tonight. Jesse Klein, where can people find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JessKlein1. That's JessKlein, the number one. Tomorrow, we're doing Daredevil podcast. Whee! Me and Zach Wilson.
And Jamie Elias and Mark Donaga.
Yes, but the people here... it's going to be a lot of fun. We're doing episodes 9 and 10. Super excited. I haven't seen them yet. I'm going to go home and watch them.
Yeah, me too. And before that, you guys. Well, first of all, I'm Zach Wilson. You can tweet me through at @ZachWilson on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Go subscribe to me on YouTube. @ZachWilson. Tomorrow, before we get to Daredevil episodes 9 and 10, we're going to be talking to. We finally got it all together. Tomorrow, 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, we're going to be talking to John Paisano. Thank you to Megan again for helping us.
I'm just so happy you guys are doing it.
Yeah, so tomorrow at 1 p.m. we're going to be talking to John Paisano, the composer of Daredevil, both seasons 1 and 2. Be sure to join us.
Gung, gung.
Awesome. Gung, gung. Yeah. I'm Yael Teagle. Hi, thanks for letting me join you guys. I'm online at Yael Teagle. That's YaelTyGIEL. And I have a podcast. It's free. It's on iTunes. It's called Intimate Interrogations. It's as dirty as it sounds. Check it out.
I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, at that. I don't know why I keep wanting to say your Twitter handle.
That's
at the Menguin.
That's
THEMENGUIN. I'm also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz, including Sailor Moon Crystal, which just came back.
Yay.
You guys should totally follow me on Twitter because you'll see a gif of me slapping myself in the face from last night's episode. I also write articles for The Movie Chick. That's Chick with 2 K's. Be sure to check those out. Folks, thank you again to everybody. Special thanks to Jilly Bean in the hashtag who wants to know what if she wants us to sing but also wants to leave a rating. I'm pretty sure the majority can say that they don't want us to sing.
Yeah, she doesn't want us to sing.
I mean, I don't know. We'll think about that.
We'll think about that. We'll take that under consideration. Anyway, folks, thank you so much again. We will see you all next time.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.